as I said, we're going to be sharing on, instead of the reverence of Yahweh, I believe we're going to share on the fear of Yahweh. And a story, something I read, and it's here if anybody wants to take it home. It was on a book, and it's called The Fear of God or Religion. It was done by a German, and it was translated into English. It really made me think. The word fear is the Hebrew word yirah, Y-I-R-A. That's the noun usage, and the verb usage is yareh. Very important, because when you just look at the word religion, you know, it's interesting. The word religion means to ligament. You know, what a ligament? That's what L-I-G is. And you're like, well, what has that got to do with anything? It doesn't. And so even the word religion is not in the Old Testament. It doesn't exist. And he says it's not religion, it's the fear of Yahweh. So we don't say, what religion are you? We say, do you fear Yahweh? Or what? Because a person could be going to church and committing adultery. He doesn't fear Yahweh. And you're going to church, and so I say I'm a Baptist, but you don't fear Yahweh. Or you don't feel, if you don't know his name, you don't feel the Creator. The vulgar mean today, the true meaning of religion is to bind again, which has nothing to do with what we're trying to communicate. The vulgar meaning today is the belief in and worship of a supernatural controlling power. As you can see, that definition has nothing to do with the word structure whatsoever. Religion is not in the Old Testament, like I said. It is in a few places in the New Testament, because it was very big in Greek, is on external ceremonies. So when we meet people, we'll say, and nothing, what we've got to do is, he is real religious. And that's a negative, even by a Christian. To say religion is more important to him than Christianity. Christianity is not a religion, and that has no bearing either. You know, the word to reattach or rebind has no bearing with these even words. So we've got to get back to, if you're a Christian, what that means is you fear Yahweh. You fear Yahweh, very simply. So now we're going to start seeing this. Abraham in Genesis 20, verse 10. I believe our society, in a great part as other societies, is when you see somebody, when they openly sin, what they're saying is, I don't fear consequences. I don't fear Yahweh. I don't fear the Creator. Abraham obviously did. So Genesis 20, verse 10 and 11. No, he had to come in because of a drought. They got to go into a far country. And this is where he said, Sarah was my sister. So that's the context. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what hast thou seen that thou shouldst have done this thing? Because Abimelech realized that there was Abraham's sister. No, he was his wife. He called him a sister. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely there is no what?
Fear
of God in this place. Therefore, since there's no fear of God, what's the consequences? Therefore, they will slay me for the sake of my wife. When you don't have the fear of God, everything goes. Now we go to 22:12. And this is great because Abraham is sacrificing Isaac. You want a Bible, Isaiah?
Yeah.
Okay, come over here.
There's one right by Mama.
Here, Hank.
You got to follow. You got to see these things. But in 22:12, so the messenger stops Abraham and we say Abraham is because A-B is Ab. Ab means father. That's Hebrew word for father. It's not Abraham. So mostly all Hebrew, it's not a long A, it's a soft A. Then he said, do not put forth thy hand unto the young man, neither do him anything at all, for now know I that one who revereth, and remember Rothman is going to change the word fear into revere or reverence. And so, but you, one who revereth or feareth Elohim, thou art, when thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only one from me. How do you know you revere Yahweh is You obey. And so if he says, disassociate with your family member, guess what you do? You disassociate. You know, if he says, kill somebody, and you're supposed to, like a death penalty, you kill them. Well, I don't feel like that. Well, you revere Yahweh, I do what he says. Now we go to Exodus 19. And I think many times people have gone overboard with the fear, and that's where the hell comes in. But now we've gone overboard with lasciviousness, which is a license to do whatever you want to do. And that is, God loves me unconditionally, what they say, which is not, they have no statement in the word on that. And now there is no fear. It appears in a lot of people's lives. So in 19, 16 through 20, we're going to see Yahweh is trying to instill this in the people. And what he's trying to do is put the fear of Yahweh into their life by showing how mighty he is. And that's on the Mount Sinai. So in 16, and it came to pass on the third day when the morning had come that they were thunderings and lightnings and a heavy cloud upon the mount, and the song of a horn loud exceedingly, and all the people who were in the camp, what?
Trembled.
It wasn't some hippie up there on top of the mountain saying, peace, peace, come on, flowers up here and everything else. No, we're going to tremble because I'm going to give you commandments, a covenant, and you better do them. Because this is who I am. Oh, well. And Moses, let me see here, let's go to 20. And Moses brought forth the people to meet Elohim out of the camp, and they stationed themselves in the lower parts of the mount. And Mount Sinai smoked all over, because Yahweh had come down therein in fire, and the smoke thereof went up as the smoke of a furnace. It's like a volcano. And all the mountain trembled exceedingly. And do I have your attention? And as oft as the sound of the horn went, you can imagine this horn is probably, Yahweh's having it blown, it's probably just blasting. You think of, a tornado siren is loud. Think of what this is doing. And as often as the sound of the horn went on, it became exceedingly loud. And when Yahweh says exceedingly loud,
it's louder than loud.
Yeah, that is, Moses spake, and Elohim responded to him with a voice. Thus came Yahweh down upon Mount Sinai unto the top of the mount, and Yahweh called Moses unto the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now go to chapter 20, verse 18. You want to read, Wendy, you want to read 18 to 21?
And all the people were witnessing the voices and the torches and the sound of the horn and the mountain smoking, so that the people were struck with awe.
Now this awe is fear. It's not cool. It's awe is fear. But go ahead.
Struck with awe and shrank back and stood afar off, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not Elohim speak with us lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, do not fear, for to the end he may prove you hath Elohim come, and to the end the reverence of him may be upon your faces, that ye sin not.
That's the fear of him, may be upon your faces. And so fear can be in two classifications. I can revere a policeman if I'm obeying the law, I'm respecting his authority. If I'm a criminal, I'm breaking the law, I don't revere him, I what?
Fear.
I fear. So they can be the same word, whether revere or fear, depending on what's your life like.
Do you want me to read the 21?
No. We're going to stop. Oh, yeah, 21. Sorry.
So then the people stood afar off, and Moses approached unto the thick gloom where Elohim was.
That's right. And that's where Moses, from then on, got all the messaging where the people said, you're our mediator. He'll tell you, and we will obey you. Now we go to Deuteronomy 6. And you look at these Democrats and you look at what's going on in our world, there's no fear of God. And that's what it really comes down to. Do they go to church? Yeah. 88% say they're Christians. 88% of Congress says they're Christians. Do they fear God? Absolutely not. So it has nothing to do with religion, whether you're a Baptist or a Catholic or anything else. You don't fear Yahweh. Very, because of what your actions are doing.
You know, the laws in New York, and then they say Illinois is even worse than New York on abortion now.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is, and why they go to church. But they don't fear Yahweh, but they should. And you will, very simply, you will pay the price. You're going to pay the piper. And that is judicially what we're going to see in Yahweh's word. Well, how can you say that? This is going to be, you know, like a man-made law. No, you're going to pay justice will be served. We're going to end up teaching on that. But Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 2 gives you the context. This then is the commandment, namely, the statutes and the regulations which Yahweh your Elohim hath commanded to teach you, that ye may do them in the land whether you are passing over to possess it, that thou mayest do what?
Revere
Yahweh, thy Elohim, as to keep all his statutes and his, what are you supposed to do? Keep his statute and his commandments, which I am commanding thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So if you're disobedient, you better fear. If you're obedient, we revere.
And you're going to have a lot
of life.
And
there's no difference between Elijah. You can revere your father, or you can fear your father. And so one thing a father can do is, once you stepped over a line, you better fear me.
Yeah,
really simple. You will fear me
because I will.
Yes,
consequences are coming.
Yeah.
All right. And this is no hug time. You know, you're going to pay the piper, and that is fear. If I don't cross that line, it's always revere, because he's my protector.
Yeah.
And if he says that, I don't want to cross that line. Mm-hmm. And now we go to verse 13, same chapter. And we did that with Melania one time. So in this particular time, and this with all kids, yeah, they're going to challenge you.
They're going to push it.
And there's a point to say, and I told this to Suzanne, my daughter, you will never win when you challenge me. All right? Very simply, you will never win. And don't ever try to challenge me, because you will lose. And you set the boundaries right there. This is the way it is. I am the boss, you're not. And even with Suzanne, if you sneak out, guess what? I call the police. They'll bring you back. That was your mother. And yeah, you challenge me, and you will lose. Very simply like that. So you have to do that. And that's what Yahweh too is, very simply. Don't think that you can sin openly without resistance in front of Yahweh and not suffer the consequences. If you don't repent of those things and retract what you're trying to do, be belligerent. And we're going to see this. But in 13, Yahweh Elohim shall thou fear.
Wait a minute, what verse?
6, verse 13. So I'm just going to reverse. It's the word fear. I'm just going to put the word fear and say revere. Rotham always translates it revere. Deuteronomy 6, 13. And Yahweh thy Elohim shall thou revere, and him shall thou serve, and by his name shall thy swear. That is it. It's not like he says, it's not the 10 suggestions, it's the 10 commandments. Very simply. Now we go to 24, 25 in the same chapter. So then Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to revere Yahweh our Elohim for our good all the days, to preserve us alive as is this day. And righteousness shall it be unto us when we take heed to do his commandments before Yahweh our Elohim as he commanded us. We are in a position where we are going to be anointed into a new kingdom if we finish our course and be elevated. You want to shake up, Cayman? You want to stand up, Cayman?
He's okay.
Are you just praying?
It's easier if you stand up.
Sometimes you need to stand up. Or you go walk around a little bit, but that's fine. I've been there too. I was like, and a guy came over around the table. It's almost drug. You're just like, I can't do that. Okay. Where was I? Oh. Okay. Yeah, where I was. Now we go to Leviticus. Exodus, Leviticus. There you go. Go back. 19, verse 1. Oh. We're going to be gods on the new earth.
Yeah.
If we pull this off. If you face your course, you're going to be exalted as gods.
And
you know, the small g. Now think of that.
Elohim's.
Yeah, yeah. And put it into a place where you have no comprehension of the greatness of it. If you fail, even though if you're a Christian, you're going to be down at the bottom of the chain and really be, it could be a disgusting person that you were. Because you were given so much and you did so little. And actually, on the contrary, you rebelled against me every day of your life. Alright, and at the end you say, I'm sorry. That's fine. That's going to be your position for eternity.
You're going to get in.
Yeah, you're in. You're going to be there. But that's your position. That's fine. It's going to be better than the death, the alternatives. But many times you're going to, in my opinion, on the new earth, you're going to pay those prices of those injustices that you did, that you never were sorry for and ever came back with restitution. So justice can be done, and this is another teaching, justice can be done to those people that you harmed. So if I steal $100,000 from somebody and never pay them back, that person is hurt all of their life. Now he's in paradise on the new earth, and I'm in the new earth. Is that fair? No, I need to serve that person till I had $100,000 of that problem that I did, and then justice has been reinstalled. And I should be able to say, I should want to do that. Yeah. And if I don't want to do that, I'm in a bad situation. Because when I hurt somebody, I should try to undo that hurt, and if I don't want to undo that hurt, then what kind of God are you?
Not a very
good. No, not just, you're despicable. You're still the old man. Because it's all about you, 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 you. You know, so this is another teaching. David had Uriah killed, murdered, right? Do you think he regrets that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure. Do you think if he has a chance to make that up, he would make that up?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so probably in paradise, we're going to meet Uriah, and I'll serve Uriah for how long I need to serve him. You know, we're going to live a billion years.
Or more.
You know, we're never going to die. And so let's make this right. For Uriah, for his family members, everybody else has been affected by my wickedness that I did. And David should be the first one up, I do it. And we should all say that, because that means you're in the right heart, and that's why you need to be there. You need to be in paradise. Okay, 19 verse 16. And if that bothers you, you have to say, where is your heart? Who are you? You're a criminal, is what you are. You know, if you don't want to pay the price that you actually did, 19:16-20, thou shalt not go, now this is like the tank, these are like the commandments. These are just terrible. Let me see here. Thou shalt not go about tale-bearing among thy people. Thou shalt not stand by over the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yahweh. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt faithfully reprove thy neighbor and not countenance him in sin. Thou shalt not take vengeance, neither shalt thou cherish anger against the son of thy people. So shalt thou love thy neighbor as thyself. My statutes, I am Yahweh, my statutes shall you observe. Thy beast shall not cause to breed into two kinds. Wait a minute here. 16-20. Oh yeah, I guess that's it. And the field shall thou not sow with two sorts of seeds, and a garment woven with diverse threads shall thou not suffer to come upon thee. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman, she being a bondswoman,
or maid.
Wait a minute. I'm not in the right place though. Let me see. Oh, 19, I'm sorry. It's 1 and 3. That was on Deuteronomy. Sorry, let me start. 19:1-3. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the assembly of the sons of Israel, and thou shalt say unto them, holy shall ye be, for holy am I, Yahweh your Elohim. Holy means set apart. I'm not with the world. I'm set apart from the world. You shall everyone fear his father and his mother, and my Sabbath shall you observe, I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. I was talking to Aaron about that. There's almost an abandonment of the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. When they're in their 70s and 80s and they need to be taken care of, well, I'm not going to have them live with me. Go to a nursing home on welfare. Yeah, really that. I mean, you get the Asian companies and things like countries, and I think the Mexicans, they take care of their parents.
Yeah.
You know, the parents took care of you for 18 years. Now it's your turn for the last 18 years that you'd be taken care of. Very simply, but it's almost like, well, wait a minute, the government's supposed to do that. That's going to cramp my style. My house isn't, my house, that's a guest bedroom. They can't live there. I mean, it's just bizarre. And they're losing out on that. Now we go to 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor be for the blind place of stumbling. Like, what kind of person are you? You're going to trip a blind man. So shall thou stand in what? Awe of thy Elohim. I am Yahweh. So, and here he's going to translate awe. God, what kind of creep are you? Oh, hey, here's a blind man. Let's put a chair out here. Ah, I'm going to trip on the chair.
That's terrible.
You have to write this down and say, don't do that? Verse 32. Before a hoary head, an old man.
Hoary head?
Yeah. Shall thou rise up and shall honor the presence of an elder, so shall thou stand in awe of thy Elohim, I am Yahweh. 25.
You should rise up for an old man?
Yeah, old man.
That's good.
And
why you're respecting your elders?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it really is. 25:14.
Okay, don't call me a hoary man.
So you take that, I'll take mom.
Okay.
14-17. And when you sell anything to thy neighbor or buy aught of thy neighbor's hand, do not overreach one another. By the number of the years after the jubilees, shalt thou buy thy neighbor. By the number of the years of increase, shall he sell unto thee. According to the multitude of the years, shalt thou increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of the years, shalt thou diminish the price thereof. Because the sum of the increase is that he that selleth thee. So then ye shall not overreach one another, but thou shalt stand in awe of thy Elohim, for I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. And in verse 35-37, and when thy brother waxes poor, and his hand becomes feeble with thee, then shalt thou strengthen him. As a sojourner and a settler, so shall he live with thee. Do not accept from him interest or profit, but stand thou in awe of thy Elohim. So shall thy brother live with thee. Very simply, we're going to stand in awe. Now we go to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's that old fire-breathing God, Yahweh. Now we're in the peace and love. We're in the hippie stage. You know?
Flower children.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. Everything's cool.
Romans what?
No judgment here.
I'm okay, you're okay.
Romans 1:18.
Unless you're alone.
Yeah.
Romans 1:18. Let's see if we've got time to read this. And here's the arrogance and the sin that's going on today. And that's page 151 in the New Testament. When do you want to read 18, and then when you want to stop, go ahead.
For there is being revealed an anger of Elohim from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who the truth in righteousness do hold down, inasmuch as what may be known of Elohim is manifest among them. For Elohim unto them hath made it manifest, for the unseen things of him from a world's creation, by the things made, being perceived, are clearly seen, even his eternal power and divinity, to the end they should be without excuse. Inasmuch as having come to know Elohim, not as...
Say Yahweh.
Yahweh, did they glorify him or give him thanks, but were made fruitless in their reasonings, and darkened was their undiscerning heart. Professing to be wise, they were made foolish. And exchanging the glory of the incorruptible Elohim for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man, and for birds and four-footed beasts and reptiles. Wherefore Yahweh gave them up in the covetings of their heart unto impurity, so as to be dishonoring their bodies among them, who indeed exchanged away the truth of Yahweh for the falsehood, and rendered worship and service unto the creature rather than unto the Creator, who is blessed unto the ages. Amen.
For this cause Yahweh gave them up to dishonorable passions, and even their females exchanged away the natural use into that which is against nature, homosexuality, which has become legal because of five justices in the United States, not by the people of the United States, but five justices. And that was in against nature. In like manner also, even the males, leaving the natural use of the female, flamed out in their eager desire one for another. Remember, all this is done in front of Yahweh. Male for male, the indecency affecting, and the necessary recompense of their error within themselves duly receiving. And even as they did not approve to be holding Yahweh in acknowledgement, Yahweh gave them up unto a disapproved mind, to be doing the things which are not becoming, filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, baseness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil disposition, whisperers, detractors, haters of Yahweh, insolent, arrogant, vain boasters, inventors of vice, unto the parents unyielding, without discernment, regardless of covenants, without natural affection, unmerciful, who indeed, having acknowledged the righteous sentence of Yahweh, that they who such thing as these do practice are worthy of death, not only the same thing are doing, but are even delighting together with them who are practicing them. That's going on today, chapter 2, verse 5. But according to thy hardness and thy impenitent heart, are treasuring up for thyself anger in the day of anger and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, who will render unto each one according to his what?
Works.
Very simply. And we know there's going to be a day of avenging in 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. Now let's just go to Revelation 14. You can say, well, this isn't happening because our God doesn't judge. 6 and 7. And you know, these are wicked people who are left, and they're given a chance. Instead of Sodom and Gomorrah, they could have been blown up. They're not, they're getting a chance. And I saw another messenger flying in mid heaven, having an age abiding glad message to announce unto them who are dwelling upon the earth, even unto every nation and tribe and tongue of people, saying with a loud voice, what? What's he saying?
Fear Yahweh.
Fear Yahweh. And give him glory, because the hour of his judging has come. And do what?
Homage.
You better bow down to this guy. You better bow down to Yahweh. And to him that hath made heaven and earth, sea, and the fountains of water. Now we go to, just give you an example. Let's see here. Go to chapter 9. So what happens if I don't? I think this is going to be a very cruel cat, and he's going to slap my hands, and that's it. Yahweh's not going to do anything drastic, I don't think. Let's look what he does to people who are in that state of mind. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 12. And the fifth messenger sounded, and I saw a star out of the heaven falling into the earth. And there was given unto him the key of the shaft of the abyss, and he opened the shaft of the abyss, and there came up a smoke out of the shaft as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the shaft, and out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and there was given unto them license, as the scorpions of the earth have license. And it was bidden them that they should not injure the herbage of the earth or any green thing nor any tree, but only the men, certain ones, who have not the seal of Yahweh upon their foreheads. These are unbelievers who reject it. And not just word, but in deed. The guys who have the seal are going to have it in word and deed. I get a seal. And it was given unto them that they should not slay them. That would have been the easy way out. What's going to happen? But that they should be tormented 5 months, and the torture then was as of a scorpion. Yeah, that's right, torture. Hey, Yahweh does torture. As the scorpion's torture, whensoever it smiteth the man. And in those days shall men seek death, and in no way shall find it, and shall covet to die, and death fleeth from them. And the likeness of the locusts were like unto the horses, prepared for battle, and upon their heads as it were crowns, like unto gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as of lions, and as they had breastplates as the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were as the sound of the chariots of many horses running the battle, and they have tails like unto scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their license to injure men 5 months. Yeah. Okay, that's coming. That's the future arrangement.
Well, that's happening.
Yeah, you know, very simply, do you fear Yahweh or not? I mean, really simple. You know, a father can be very simply, you can be grounded, you can repent, all right? But there's a point where you step over the line, and we had one friend here in that who ended up going to prison. You're breaking, you're creating felonies. Alright? And it's adios. You're gone and you're rejected from this household. And so he spent years in prisons. Because of the choices he made with alcohol and drinking and drunk driving and everything else. And here's the point to say, you are banned from our family because of the wickedness in your heart when it comes down to it. And Yahweh, no more. And if it came down to it, if I have to kill you to protect my family, I will. I mean, we had another person, very simply, their son killed his sister and his mother, strangled his sister, and this was a teenager, 17, 18 years old, strangled his mother. This is a...
Never mind.
No, it's Julie's father, Sam Rice. He killed his sister and his mother.
Sam didn't.
His son did. Who was a teenager, probably 18 or younger. This happens. That's what kind of wickedness can happen even in family. What deserves that kid? Death. Right? Regardless. I mean, I don't care whose family you are. But those are the things we have to start looking at. Fear. Now, when you get into the flood, did these people revere Yahweh? In Noah's time? No, they did not. I don't think I have time to read, but we know that everything of their heart was wicked all the days of life. He says, I must wipe them out, except for Noah. Now, guess what? Did these people know how to make rafts? Yeah, when it starts flooding, sure. I mean, after it rains for 40 days, you've got to realize we better put some logs together, all right, and get on these rafts. Because things are flooding, right?
Sure.
Okay, that's 40 days. How much food can you take with you? So now you're on the raft, because after 40 days, it stops, and now you're floating. There's going to be another 150 days. What's going to happen to these people?
They're going to eat each other.
They're going to starve. That's a slow death. It's not like Sodom and Gomorrah, where all of a sudden, one night, you're out. Now you start thinking about that, and so people are in survival, and then they start eating each other, and they all end up dying, because they're all wicked. You starve to death. And now you get to think about our Creator now. You get to think about, maybe you repented on that wrath, and you're going to be on the new earth, of all the wickedness that you did, but this is your consequences that you did. Now we go to Genesis 19. So we've got to take this stuff very seriously.
It makes me think of what people can look at on the internet and be tempted with.
It really comes down to there's one thing about sinning in your mind to a certain extent, but once you start getting other people involved or your actions start doing things, there's huge consequences when you're coming to that, because you are not... Now, there's one thing where you're fighting the old man, and we all fight the old man, and we're all going to blow up around and say, I'm sorry, Father, that's all we need. Okay, that's very simply. But when it becomes a lifestyle and you're no longer fighting, then you are angering Yahweh, and you did not fear Yahweh. So here is, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. And Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of the heavens, so it overthrew these cities, and that was sodomy. They had sodomy in their Republican Party, Sedgwick County Republican Party. That was the chief guy. He's a sodomist. They elected him. But I let them know that I had nothing to do with it. And he overthrew these cities and the circuit and all the inhabitants of the cities and the produce and the ground. That his wife looked from behind him and became a pillar of salt. Now let me ask you something. In all of Sodom and Gomorrah, who feared Yahweh and who did not?
Lot.
Two daughters. Did his wife fear Yahweh?
No.
And did his future son-in-law fear Yahweh?
No.
No, they did not. Very simply, because of their actions. Now we go to Numbers, and this is very important. This is so predominant in my day, too, of fornicating, of accepted fornication, which is accepted. Now, we even have a family member or a person I know of who is a Christian who is actively fornicating without any repentance, without even fighting to get around there. Let's just see this. Let's see how important fornication is to Yahweh. He wrote a whole chapter on it, 1 Corinthians 6. And it says, flee fornication. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And how dare you unite yourself with a prostitute or anything else or commit adultery? And it was a death sentence. These things are death sentences. And let's look at 6 and 11. What's 6 through 11. Numbers 25, 6 through 11. This is Baal Peor. Remember, Balaam was having them curse the Moabitess. And Balaam would not curse him. So Balaam told him, what you want to do is bring sex into their, sex outside of marriage into the centers, and that will make it fall. Which it did.
What, now 26 what?
25, Numbers 25, verse 6 to 11. And lo, a man of the sons of Israel coming in who brought near unto his brother a Midianite woman before the eyes of Moses. Before the eyes of Yahweh, he's Yahweh's representative, and before the eyes of all the assemblies of the sons of Israel, when they are weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon, the priest saw it, so he rose up out of the midst of the assembly, and took a spear in his hand, and went in after the man of Israel into the pleasure tent. And thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman in her what?
Parts of shame.
Parts of shame.
So the plague was restrained.
So the plague was restrained from against the sons of Israel. Wow. This is fornication. Mm-hmm. This is fornication where he killed the people. And guess what? It pleased Yahweh.
Stop the plague.
So it was found that they who had died by the plague were 420,000. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon the priest, hath turned back my wrath from against the sons of Israel, and that he was jealous with my jealousy in their midst, so that I made not an end of the sons of Israel in my jealousy. So we take fornication anymore, just as everybody does it. This is what it has no fear of Yahweh. So when you see it on TV, it's we've been polluted with it. And since James Bond and everything else, James Bond had sex with everybody, anything that moved.
Well, it wasn't start with that.
No, but it was hidden. But there is now it's become on the sitcoms. Everybody else, if you don't have sexual intercourse with somebody on the first night, there's something wrong with you. And this is the consequences of right in front of Yahweh and everybody. Now we'll finish up in 2 Corinthians 5. And so we need to put some emphasis on fornication. Second Corinthians, that's page 184. I just heard Martin Luther King, and I don't know how The guy just wrote a book, and the FBI had him, you know, spying on him. He had sex with 40 different women. Martin Luther King, Jr. Yeah. So, I mean, so here, a pastor, he's an ordained pastor, but here's supposedly what he got is, here's a person that was holy on the outside, but he had no fear of Yahweh. And supposedly, in the same book, a woman was being raped by another pastor he watched. Now, I don't know if this is on the police records, if this is in the FBI records, but it just shows you. We know Bill Clinton, right? The President of the United States. Was he a fornicator?
Yeah.
Absolutely was. Exhibitionist. Fornicated mostly all his life. President of the United States. People voted for him. Half the voters voted for that person twice. That's the wicked people who have done that. But we know it's in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we all must needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may get back the thing done by means of his body, according to the things which he practiced, whether good or what?
Corrupt.
Corrupt, very simply. If you do good stuff, bingo. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're getting rewards, tremendous. And if we do a corrupt thing, you know what I do? I repent. All right? Or if I see somebody else do something corrupt, we tell them, repent. Well, I'm not going to repent. Then you know what he tells us to do? 1 Corinthians 5. I'm not going to repent. Verse 13. Now, do we revere Yahweh? When Yahweh says, do this, Donna, then we have to say, that's my family member. I'm going to pick my family member and not fear Yahweh. Now think of that. I mean, whenever, I'm just using you as an example, or Aaron, or myself, or anything else it comes down to. Whereas them who are without, Yahweh judges, remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves. Very simply. If a person is a fornicator, it says right here, 11, but now I have written unto you not to be mixing yourself up with anyone named a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or reveler, or a drunkard. My brother is a fornicator. I never knew anything about it. I didn't know about this verse. Tom, my brother Tom, he still is a fornicator. Right? I mean, he's my brother. Is he a Christian? Yeah. He's a Christian. Is he a fornicator? He sure is. But he's changed. And any one of us know, do you know people who are fornicators? Yes. I think all of us have known fornicators. And actually, they are our friends. You know, at some particular times, very simply, or they're our family members. Or some
we
kind
were
of
ourselves.
Or, yeah, they're the people I work with, and I have coffee with them. And what's it say at the end? Remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves. Not even eat with such a person. And so you need to tell them that. And so we better get back to the fear of Yahweh. Good. Well, wrath, fear, and wrath.
Fire and brimstone.
Oh my God. Fire and brimstone of fellowship.
Can I add something? With the judgment seat, when are we going to be here?
When so
we always have a thing around this time.
Oh, yeah, we have time.
When are you going to go before Christ? We don't know. It can be. When's he coming back?
Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah, okay. Right. So it's like, okay.
So, we'll end. Well, Father, we thank you so much for these. I'll give a prophecy for the people. Father, we thank you so much for these words. And for your word to just slap us across the face and wake us up to say, all the places that I have not feared you, where I should have been, I repent. And I'm starting a new life to do what you tell me to do. I choose you, and that's called fidelity instead of the world. Thank you, Christ, for dying for us so that we could have this choice. And thank you for these words of prophecy. Do not be ashamed of the past or the future, but walk forth in the light of my word, and it shall cleanse thee from all unrighteousness. So putting on the breastplate of righteousness and doing my word rectifies errors. It does the cleansing process from the inside out. So at all times, seek my counsel and I will instruct you and deliver you. My son died to deliver you from a cesspool that we've all been born into and pull you up to do him and to serve him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. See you next week, guys.
Well, there you go.